I looked at Mark chapter 5. I've had this on my heart, and it's going to be right along the lines of what Brother Ken preached this morning, but I can't get away from it. I looked through every note I had and through the Bible during the day today, so I'm just going to do what he wants. So you pray for us tonight. Mark chapter number 5. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you so much, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for salvation, God. I'm glad you saved us from our sins. I pray tonight, God, that you'd touch us and help us. Lord, you know these people. You know each heart in this building. I pray, God, that you'd speak through us, God, and hide me. Lord, I pray, God, that your word would do its work tonight, that only it can. And Lord, we give you praise and we give you honor and glory ahead of time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All righty. Mark chapter number 5, we're going to begin reading there in verse number 21. The Bible says this, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing. I'm interested in that little phrase in verse number 23. The Bible says, "And he besought him greatly, saying," right here it is, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." And you think about that just for a second. In the text here, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." And I want to preach on this thought tonight, on what to do when your baby's in ICU. What to do when your baby's in ICU. And you think tonight, your baby could be a lot of things. You've heard people say that maybe a truck or a four-wheeler or something like that. Or you ladies, I don't know what in the world y'all like the most. But you say, "That's my baby right there. I like that thing. That's my baby." And you know what? You could have several different things that is in ICU tonight. Now think about it. It could be your faith tonight. It could be your family. It could be your fortune. It could be your future, your job, your children, whatever it might be. You may be like Jairus and have a child that's at the point of death. And I was thinking back to when Drew Wilson, a boy that used to go to the church that I pastored, I remember him being in Grady Hospital after a car wreck. And he was laying on that bed there in a coma in Grady's Hospital. And his parents were there and they were looking at him. And old Drew was you know, nobody could get to him. Nobody could say anything that would wake him up. And he was there and he was in a coma and he was on his way out. It looked very grim several times. He ended up with MRSA staph in his lungs and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And listen to me, I want you to understand this story as we read it on out. It did progress in getting worse. It didn't get no better till Jesus got there. And there are some things that you'll face, just like Brother Ken said this morning, there are some things that you'll have go on in your life that only the Lord can take care of. And you can try to doctor it, you can try to fix it all you want to, you can try to say the right thing, you can try to do the right thing, but I got news for you. There are certain things that it takes the mighty, powerful hand of God in order for that thing to be fixed. And I think about Drew, and I'm going to use him for an illustration. I think about him laying on that bed there with a tube where they drilled a hole in his head and letting his brain drain off, and that staff, that tube down his throat, and all these machines hooked to him. It wouldn't have mattered what his daddy said. It wouldn't have mattered what his mama would have said to him. It wouldn't even have mattered what his preacher would have said to him. But it took God to pull him out of that. If I've ever seen God work a miracle, it was in that boy. And I thought about that, and I looked at some things that we face in life. There are some things that we face that it takes God to
fix it. And you remember that. Now let's look at this story here. First of all, we got to understand this situation. I believe with all my heart in verse number 22, the Bible says this, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet." And I looked this little "fell" word up here, and it literally means that he fell prostrate. And there we see his feet. He was on the ground, I believe, laying at Jesus' feet. He knew where he was, and it was a crushing appeal. I believe that he was appealing to him because he was crushed. And things that you face in life, some things that you'll go through, some trials that you'll face in life, they'll literally crush you to where there's nothing left of your pride, where there's nothing left of your hope, to where there's nothing left within you that feels like that it can fix it. So we see Jairus here. He was crushed by this situation. He was mashed literally into, I believe he was squalling. I believe he was crying. Has anybody ever been to the place to where what was going on in your life had you to the place to where you didn't know what to do? And you were at your lowest point. You were at the lowest place that you had ever been in your life. And here is where Jairus was. He was fallen. He had gotten down prostrate at the Lord's feet because he knew that he was the only hope. But I also noticed this in understanding this situation. It's a crucial appeal. It's crucial. You want to know how it's going to be crucial in your life? It'll be crucial when it says there in verse number 23, "My little daughter." It wasn't his neighbor's daughter. It wasn't his the daughter up the road. It wasn't the daughter at the school. But it was his daughter. When it gets down to your house, and when it gets in your health, and when it gets in your family, when it gets in your pocketbook, when it gets about your life, it's going to be crucial. I'll promise you that it's the best thing to start a prayer life. It's when a storm comes down to your house. You can try this to pray. You can try that to pray. You can try to get in a habit of praying, and that's a great thing to do. But I'll tell you one thing that will make you pray, and that's when my little daughter... That's when your baby gets in ICU. You will pray. I promise you that. God will put things in your life. He'll allow things to happen in your life so that you will call on Him. I believe with all my heart that God, a lot of times, the Lord, a lot of times wants us to just understand who He is and what He's capable of. There are times that trials come and things and situations come up in our lives that we can fix. And we can alter and we can do it, do some things to make it a little better. But I say this, there are times when God allows things to come in our life that are totally out of our hands, that are totally away from our reach, and we cannot do anything about it. And that's the place here that he'd gotten. He was crushed. And I noticed that this was a crucial appeal, but it was also a critical appeal. I see this. The Bible says in verse 23, watch your Bible. He said, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." She was at the point of death. She was almost fixing to leave this world. And far as he knew, he had left his home. He had went off to get the Lord because that's the only thing he knew he could do. But notice here that she was at the point of death. And where you're at tonight, what you're facing tonight, what you're going through, it may be at literally the point of death. Listen to me tonight. What you're going through right now, you may know that if God don't intervene, if God don't do something with this matter, that it's going to die. If God's got to move on it, God's got to fix this, or else it's going to be dead. Listen to me. There's times, and somebody may be here tonight, that God's trying to tell you that He's the only answer. You may have said everything that you know to say. You may have done everything that you know to do. Listen to me. You may have prayed. prayed this and prayed that. You may have done this and done that. You may have talked to them. You may have talked to your situation. You may have done this for your situation. But listen to me. I'm telling you that it's critical. And listen, it may die if you don't go and fetch the Lord. Amen. You've got to put it in His hands. You've got to give it to Him and say, Lord, there's nothing the doctors can do. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing mama can do. There's nothing daddy can do. There's nothing nobody can do. It's going to take you and you alone to fix this situation. So we see Jairus here. He is in a bad situation. Has anybody ever found themselves in that place? Has anybody ever found theirself in a place to where they didn't know what to do? In a place to where you tried everything in your handbook. You've tried everything that folks had told you to do. They'll tell you to say this. They'll tell you to tell them this. They'll tell you to do this for them. Be nice to them. They'll tell you to rebuke them. They'll tell you to do it. But listen to me. There is times when the only thing that'll work is God and Him alone. Amen. But notice here, whenever we get in trials, and I have to get here in Jairus' mind just for a little bit. Let's look at Jairus' mind. Now, he's leaving his baby daughter there. He's leaving that little girl on her literal deathbed. He's left her to herself there, and he said, I've got to go get the Lord. He has took his hands off of her. You know what we want to do? You know what I'm going to just confess. Whenever there's a problem in my life, Brother Ken, when there's a situation in my life, I want to stay with it. I want to stick to it. I want to hold on to it. I feel like I ain't doing my best. If I'm not there and I ain't got a handle on it, Brother Lee. I want to have a handle on it. I want to do my best. But you know what Jairus did? He left it alone. He left it by itself. And he went after the Lord. He went to the Lord and he fetched God. But notice, I have to wonder about his mind. And everybody knows the devil in you. Amen? He knows how to put stuff in her mind. He knows how to talk junk in other way. Amen? And I think about Jairus as he's on his way to get the Lord, what the devil might have said to him. Amen? And the devil is very convincible. Amen? He can convince you of some things. He is very smart. He knows exactly what to say. He knows more about you probably than you know about you. Amen? He knows my weaknesses. He knows my weak points in this old feeble brain I got. He knows my doubts. He knows where I fall short. And this may be what he said. I wonder in this solution here. I wonder here about if the devil might have made him doubt about his probability. I wonder if he may have told Jairus in his ear a little whisper, I doubt if he'll take care of this. I doubt if he'll take care of this. I wonder if he said he ain't gonna come. There's a throng of people around him. There's all kinds of people. There's a woman he's about to meet with the issue of blood here. There's all kinds of people getting healed. There's all kinds of people getting help. And you're going to carry him away from them all the way over here to your house and see if he'll help. Listen, I doubt very seriously if he's going to come. I doubt if he'll even give you ear to hear you. I doubt if he'll even hear these things that you got to say, Jairus. He's a liar. He'll make you doubt his probability. He'll make you doubt that the Lord even cares about your situation. Yeah, ma'am? You'll sit there, you'll get the pity party, you'll think that you're the only one in the world with a problem, and he'll put all that stuff in your mind, and he'll make you think the Lord just don't care about you and your situation. And I wonder also, not only in this solution here, this understanding of this solution, he may make you doubt his probability, but he also may make you doubt his ability. Now, we know here, if you're here and there's no trial in your life, there's no doubt you know that God can do anything. Many of you have seen Him work miracles. Many of you have seen Him do great things that you know only God could do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's some people in here that have seen God do things that there's no doubt in your mind. God did it. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl nowhere. There's not a doctor. There's not a scientist. There's nobody that could have fixed the situation that you're thinking about but God alone. You've seen miracles being performed. But then again, we're so shallow-minded and we're so weak-faith that even after we've seen the hand of God move, when the trial comes, we will begin to doubt God. And talking about His doubting, making us doubt the ability of God. I doubt if He can. Here's what He'll tell you, maybe. He may say that my situation is just too bad. This thing has went too far. My child has gone too far. Everything, I've messed it up too bad. You may have messed up some things in your life. You may have done some things so bad that the devil may tell you that you might as well just give up on it. The devil ever told you to give up? Has the devil ever told you to throw the towel in? Has he ever told you just to quit? Amen. He'll tell you that. I wonder if Jairus, while he was on his road down to get the Lord, I wonder if the devil told him, you're just wasting your time and your energy going down there and getting him. Ain't no sense in it. I doubt if he can take care of your problem. Because you're the one that made the problem. Let me give you a little information tonight. The Lord knows that you are going to make mistakes. Listen to me. All the problems in my life, 99.9% of them, guess who got him into it? Amen? I messed up way more than the devil gets too much credit. Amen? The devil gets way too much credit. He ought not get the credit he gets. The thing is, my biggest problem is my flesh. Amen? My biggest problem is me. And listen, the Lord knows. He knows our frame. Amen. He knows that we're but dust. He knows who we are. That's why He saved us. Amen. And I'm glad that He knows I'm going to blunder. Amen. I'm glad that He knows that I'm going to mess up. I'm glad that He loves me enough that when I do mess up when I do squander my life and mess everything up, I'm glad that He is able to fix it. Ain't you glad of that tonight? Ain't you glad we got a God who loves us enough? That when we fall and get our britches dusty, amen, He'll dust them off and say, get up and go again. Whenever we're in the ditch, and we went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and we fell among thieves, ain't you glad that there is a good Samaritan? When the priest and the Levite pass by and leave you in the ditch, ain't you glad tonight that there is a Samaritan that'll come by your way, and he will get down in the ditch. He'll pick you up. He'll pour in oil and wine. He'll put you on his own beast, and he'll carry you to the end. Where you can get help. Amen. I'm glad my Savior's that way. But not only will old devil make you doubt his probability and his ability, but listen to this. The devil will make you doubt his stability. Listen to me. I wonder if Jairus, when he was on that road, going to get the Lord. I wonder if he might have, if he wondered if he'd do it the way he wanted it done. You know what? We want it done our way. On our time. You know, Brother Ken preached about the man this morning. And he had faith enough. And you know, the Lord healed him before he ever got back home. But this man here had to leave the Lord all the way back home. And then his daughter, when he got there, was dead. She was dead. And listen to me. That discouraged most of us. And we throw the towel. We'd give up. We'd quit. And we'd say, well, there's no hope now. But listen, all the way up to verse number 36, Jairus was leading the Lord. But listen, 36, from then on out, we see that Jesus was leading Jairus. And when we give up, and when we throw the towel in, I'm glad that He takes the reins, and that He leads us in our trials. I'm glad that He takes us by the hand. When we have had all that we can take, when we have went far as we can go, I'm glad that the Lord will take us and carry us on and carry out the task. And He'll make you doubt some things, won't He? A lot of times we want it our way. We want it on our time. I wonder as him and the Lord begin to walk. And the Bible says there, notice what it says there. In verse number 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. It was literally breast to breast. They were there, and it was so crowded. Probably the disciples probably had to part the crowd just so the Lord could get through. As the woman with the issue of blood, it was so crowded. As she touched his garment, the Lord knew who it was, but the disciples said, "This big crowd here," and say, "You ask who touched you, the hem of your garment?" It was a crowded place. And I wonder as Jairus is there and as he is looking at this, he's saying, "Man, he needs to get down there. He needs to get to where my daughter is. He needs to be where she's at right now, right now." Has anything ever happened in your life to where you needed the Lord right now? And you prayed and you prayed and you went to Him and He just wouldn't answer right then when you thought He ought to? Boy, we'll give up. Easy whenever that happens. We think just because the Lord, don't answer us then. We think because, listen to this now, we think because our situation is getting worse and worse and worse. And listen now, all back in verse number 23, she's already lying at the point of death. She's already at the point to where she's at. The doctor done told him, "You ain't got long with this. She's going to die very soon." And as they go, and here's a crowd slowing him down to where he can't get to where the daughter is. And we see here that she is at this point of death. And I wonder if the devil was telling him, "Listen, this thing, he's not going to make it in time." The devil ever told you that the Lord just ain't going to make it in time? Just ain't going to happen that way. He'll convince you of something else. The Lord just ain't His will to do that. You're praying against His will. You pray anyway. Bible says still that if you have not because you ask not. Amen. Listen, the Spirit knows what to pray anyway. You go ahead and pray what's on your heart. God knows your heart anyway. You pray exactly what God lays on your heart to pray. Amen. Now let's listen to this. As they're heading down the road there, as they're going, the woman with the issue of blood is healed of her plague. She is healed from that. And here they go on down the road. And now they meet somebody there. And while he yet spake, there came, verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead." My goodness, I wonder how his heart must have sunk down into his shoes. I wonder how the wind must have been let slap out of his lungs. I bet it was like a punch in the gut. Listen to me now. Whenever, here's the turn. Here's where we get to the place to where we throw the towel in and give up. Here's the place to where we say it's no use anymore. When we see our situation has went so bad that we are convinced that there's no other way out. When we'll convince ourselves, we'll listen to the devil's lie, and we'll convince ourselves by the talk of others, by the talk of the devil, that my daughter's dead and there's no sense in troubling the master anymore. There's no sense in praying. There's no sense in going to church. There's no sense in reading your Bible. There's no sense in doing this no more. Now, listen, your daughter's dead. That thing that you love, your baby that was in ICU, listen to me, that thing is gone. You need not to trouble the master anymore. Has he ever told you that? Now notice here though, let's understand some stipulations about the Lord. I want you to see here in verse 24. The Bible says he went with him and much people followed him and thronged him. I wonder how long, and it doesn't say how long a trip it was from where he found the Lord and fell at his feet to when he got to Jairus' house. It doesn't say that, but I'd have to say it wasn't just around the corner. I wonder if it may have took an hour to get there. I wonder if it may have took 6 hours to get there. I wonder if it may have took a little time to get to his... I want to say this tonight in understanding the stipulation of the Lord, that time does not fail him. Time is not a matter with the Lord. As you look at that watch on your arm there, I'll be done in just a minute, amen. As you look at that watch on your arm there, I want you to understand that the Lord don't have a Timex. Amen. You got a calendar on your phone. Thank God for a calendar. The best thing on a phone, amen, is a calendar. I tell you, it takes a lot where you ain't got to put a lot in your brain to remember stuff. But listen, if the Lord ain't got a calendar, amen, that He has to look at. Amen. Time does not fail Him. Amen. As He sits on His throne, He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's the same tomorrow. And listen, it don't matter to Him if it was yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Whenever He comes, everything's going to be all right. Boy, the biggest thing we got to do is just trust that He's coming. And it may get so bad that somebody says, "They ain't no use. Don't trouble Him no more." It may get so bad that the devil has got you totally convinced that everything is hopeless. But listen to me tonight. Time does not fail the Lord. You may see the situation in your life. You may see that area in your life, your job or whatever it might be. You may see it literally crumbling to pieces. And it may be at a point where you can't understand how in the world that anything good can come out of this. But I want you to understand that God can come tomorrow after it's died today. He can come next week after it died last week. And everything will work out and everything will be just as good as it was or better than it's ever been. Amen. Time doesn't fail Him. But I'm glad of this tonight. Verse 35, as they talked there and told him, "Listen, your daughter's dead." And he said, "Listen, thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master?" Talk doesn't frighten him. Talk don't frighten him. You know what? You can get a word from your doctor. You can get a word from one of your relatives. You can get a word from somebody at work. You can get a word from whoever. And it'll scare you out of your socks. Am I right about it? I know there's some really spiritual folks in here, amen? I know there's some folks that's got past the point of fear, but I haven't. The right thing will scare you to death. Amen. You go to your doctor for your annual checkup and let him tell you that there's a mass close to your one of your vital organs. Let them tell you that there's something wrong with you and let's see how you react to it. Amen. Let's let you get a phone call that your child or your wife, your husband, or your whoever has been in a horrible accident. And listen, let's see how your heart reacts. Listen to me, but I'm glad that talk don't frighten the Lord. I didn't see him. Listen, I'll read on here. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the rulers, "Be not afraid, only believe." Amen. Listen, it's going to scare you to death. Evidently, he saw Jairus here. I wonder if Jairus might have broke down and started crying. I wonder if he might have said, "Well, it's just too late, I guess. I'll just have to prepare for her to be buried." I wonder if he might have thought in his mind, and the Lord knows our thoughts, amen. He knows all about us. And I wonder if he might have saw that in Jairus. And he said, "Be not afraid, Jairus. There ain't no sense in worrying about this. I'm here tonight." Oh, listen, wherever you're at tonight, whatever you're facing tonight, listen to me. Whenever you're scared to death, whenever you're worried, slapped to death, listen, I know it ain't right to worry, but I'm just going to preach honest to you tonight. There is some people that worry, and there is some people that fear. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me. When He says, "Be not afraid," and when He's still with you, everything's going to be all right. Everything will be fine. Talk doesn't frighten him. But listen to me. I see something else going on. Verse number 38, look with me. "He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult." You know, they used to hire folks to come in and mourn in this day. And all this tumult, it means pretty much as our modern day word, drama. Amen. Everybody done got on Facebook. Everybody got on Instapoop. Amen. Amen. And then posted and said, Jairus' daughter died. Y'all come on down here. I can't believe he left this baby over here and she died. He went after that Galilean over there. He went after him and here she done died. And listen to me now. I wonder tonight. I'm reading between the lines. Amen. I wonder tonight if he wasn't a bunch of drama going on. And I wonder if he didn't see that. And the Lord, I'm glad that tumult doesn't frustrate him. Here's a big old crowd outside the house, and they're all talking, and the Lord knows what every one of them is saying, even if they're saying it in their mind, behind their breath. He knows what all of them's talking about. He knows all the drama teams, amen. He knows all that stuff that goes on, drama kings and drama queens too, amen. He knows all that junk, but I'm glad that don't frustrate him a bit. Amen. Ain't you glad it don't frustrate him? Thank God. What to do when your baby's in ICU. I tell you what you better do. When your baby's there dying, when it's dying, you better get the Lord. You can try to say, you can try to do whatever's in your power, but I got news for you. There's some things that just won't push the ship. There's some things that just won't power the tractor. Some things that just won't get the wheels rolling unless the Lord makes it happen. Now notice this salvation. Understanding this salvation now. Verse number 40. I love the fire. Let's read verse 39. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? I bet they looked at him like he was a nut. I bet they looked at him like, are you crazy? Listen, there's a little girl in there dead. That's why we're crying. That's why we're making all this commotion. That's why we're talking all this. Our daddy left that daughter over. That's why we're doing all this. But notice what he done. He said the damsel is not dead, but sleeping. And boy, that really got it started. That really got them all tore up. Because they know the doctor doesn't come out there and doesn't give the diet. He done wrote down the time of death. He done signed the birth certificate. Listen, everything. She was dead. She was laying in there lifeless. But the Lord said, listen, she's just a sleeping. Notice now what he done. Verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. You know this world's going to laugh at you and your faith. When you step out on faith and do what God bids you to do. First of all, it ain't going to make a lick of sense. Amen? Because your mind and your thoughts are not His thoughts. Amen? Your ways are not His ways. And thank God, I'm glad they ain't. We'd be in a mess if the Lord thought like I did. We'd be in a mess if He done things like I done them. Amen? But I'm glad that He does things a whole lot different. The first thing, it's not going to make a lick of sense to you. Amen? They laughed Him to scorn. They laughed at Him. They're going to laugh at you. Notice with me, but when He had put them all out. Listen, I ain't got time for all this junk. I ain't got time for all this mess. You know, some of the sweetest services you'll have, Brother Ken, some of the sweetest times that the Lord spoke to me is on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And everybody else is gone, and I understand people's got jobs, understand all that good stuff, and I ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with vacation. I like a vacation, everyone. Ain't nothing wrong with, you know, if you got a job, but you have to go. Listen, there's just special times when God speaks to His people. When He gets His core, when He gets those that are really tuned in and are looking at Him and are listening to Him, He begins to speak to them. Understand, I see first of all that it's personal. It's personal. You see, God, you go to somebody, listen, I'm going to throw this in there. You go to somebody, and I wish you'd pray about this. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I've done it 1,000 times, you have too. Ain't nothing wrong with going to somebody and saying, I wish you'd pray for that. As you go in the prayer room, you may ask prayer requests, and that's wonderful. You need to. bear you one another's burdens, and so you fulfill the law of Christ. We're supposed to do that. I'm not condemning. I'm not throwing that out. Listen to me. But what God is trying to do, He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to speak to you personal. Listen, God sends a message. We'll go to the higher level. God sends a message to the preacher. He don't send it through none of the deacons. And the deacons tell Brother Ken, say, listen, this is what you ought to preach Sunday. He don't speak to Brother Ken like that, but He speaks to him personally. But it don't stay that high. All the way down to the smallest things in life, God speaks personally and on a personal level. God may speak to you in your prayer closet. God may speak to you as you are reading your Bible. God may speak to you as you're tired and on your way to work. God may speak to you as you're on your way home from work. Or you may be cutting grass or doing whatever. But God is trying to speak to you directly. It's a personal salvation. Listen to me. But I notice this. It's penetrating. It's penetrating. Notice what it says. He put them all out. And He taketh the father, the mother, the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in. He penetrates. He gets right to the matter. Listen, you don't know how. When God shows up, you don't know how. You won't miss Him. You will not miss Him. You think, well, maybe this was the Lord. There ain't no maybe to it. Maybe, listen, that ain't the way it works. When God shows up, and when God gets on your scene with your little baby that's in ICU, you will know that it's Him. And you will have no doubt in your mind that He has stepped into the situation. Notice with me, it's penetrating, but it's also powerful. Notice there in verse number 41, the Bible says He took the damsel by the hand. He took her by the hand. He took her by the hand. He didn't say, listen, if you'll reach your hand up and get mine, I'll take care of it. Am I right about it? Listen now, your situation, I think about old Drew up there in the hospital on that bed, in that coma there. None of them doctors come in there and say, Drew, if you'll just take this stuff through this tube, it'll feed you, but you got to take it. No, they had to put it in him. The IVs, they had to put it in him. They had to do all that stuff. Listen, if you'll just breathe, Drew, you'll live. But he couldn't breathe on his own. Listen, I'm talking about a situation that's lying at the point of death. I'm talking about something that's past going. Listen, the Lord came in and He took it by the hand. I like it when God comes in at something that's past going and beyond our reach. And we cannot help it no more. There's nothing more than we can do. I'm glad that there is a God that'll come in and grab it. Lay His hands on it. And He can take care of it. Listen, you may think God has not heard your prayers. But you may have prayed a prayer 5 years ago. You may have prayed a prayer a year ago. You may have prayed a prayer a week ago. And listen, God hears your prayers from way back then. He has not forgot that prayer. Listen to me tonight. I say this, that you have forgotten all about what you prayed about in 1999. You forgot all about what you prayed about way back then. But God has not forgotten. And God will answer prayer. Amen. Brother Ken, I don't know if you have an invitation or what. But listen.